This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. Thank you very much for staying for the second half of Monday Night Talk. Can I say that, Larry? Second half? It is kind of second half. It's 7 o'clock. It's like unto itself. Kind of the first part of the show. We do a lot of news-related stuff and fun stuff and blah, blah, blah. But joining me, it's almost like this young lady is becoming my co-host. She is back by popular demand. As we have Amy Belmore is behind the microphone again this week. Amy, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me again, Kevin.
And who is the young gentleman who is sitting next to you?
Next to me is David Kennedy, also a resident of Kingston and a member of the Kingston Board of Health.
And the conversation that we are going to be having tonight is we're going to talk a little bit about the new Tri-Town Facts Coalition. You, of course, Amy, being the chair.
I am, yes.
And we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the formation of this coalition, its importance. As I was saying during the break, is that I don't think we can get enough information out about what is going on with this epidemic that we're dealing with, that our children, people of all ages are dealing with. And that's what I'm talking about, is the drug addiction, heroin, the fentanyl, and people dying.
Absolutely.
Yes. People are dying, and it's not just, as I said to David, tongue-in-cheek, and that is, this isn't, you know, the movies that we saw back in the 50s where, you know, the character who plays the hood is, you know, the bad seed who smokes the cigarette and does the drugs. It's not like that anymore, that anybody can be affected. It could
it's
be
everywhere.
That it is everywhere. Tell us a little bit about the formation of Tri-Town Facts, and I believe FACTS is an acronym for?
Yes, FACTS is an acronym for Families, Adolescents, and Communities Together Against Substances, and that's an acronym that's been used regionally. Other coalitions in the area have also adopted the term FACTS. And so the coalition came together. Our first couple of meetings began in late winter, January, I believe it was, and we've been meeting monthly since then, really to try to build a community coalition to bring different representatives from, whether it be parents, students, teachers, administrators, law enforcement, Board of Health members, public safety, all sorts of different sectors, faith communities, to come together to really address this raging epidemic that we're all dealing with.
Give me your thought as a member of the Board of Health and knowing that this is something that we're dealing with these days.
Yes, I just think it's really important for a Board of Health should be involved in FACTS program, and we just passed in Kingston a synthetic drug regulation, which was very important for our cause. So extremely happy that we were able to do that, and I just think it's so important for other members in the community and other health boards in our Tri-Town to be involved, and they are getting involved, and we're hoping more can come out. Support our cause.
And of course, you're also, besides being a member of the Board of Health, you're also a member of this coalition too.
Yes, I am. Very active member.
Well, how do you feel about being involved in a coalition like this? What's the importance of your involvement?
My importance is threefold, really. One is being a politician in Kingston on the Board of Health and really getting behind the coalition and doing as much as we can to educate and promote healthy living. Besides trying to deal with, we still need to deal with the addiction part of it, but promote more of a healthy awareness in the way you should live.
I think that's an important point. But really, you know, everybody's kind of has a high tune to the opioid epidemic and heroin because of the rates of overdose right now, and that is definitely a driving factor for us. But we are also focused on, as a coalition, promoting overall holistic wellness and addressing mental health issues and behavioral health issues along the way. So we're very much in our sort of young stages here and really deciding at this point as we go, you know, determining what the data shows us here in these three towns. It is worth mentioning Tri-Town Facts represents Kingston, Plimpton, and Halifax.
Thank you. That was my next thing I was going to ask you is, so
yep.
Folks know.
Exactly. And we welcome, you know, residents of all three towns to get involved.
You got a meeting coming up tomorrow?
Tomorrow evening, absolutely, at Silver Lake High School, which is where our meetings are typically held. Tomorrow night's meeting is 6:30 to 8 p.m. And we would love for anybody who wants to learn more to come out and join us.
Now, is this your first meeting, or is this the first of many meetings?
First of many. We've been meeting monthly since January, and the group has grown along the way. We've actually, over the last few months, we've had 25 to 30 people showing up, which has been fantastic. We want to welcome in those who are in the recovery communities, as well as treatment specialists, and really, you know, bring together lots of different perspectives to educate, as David was saying, and to just kind of bridge. This is a very complex issue, and we want to try to bridge it all together.
What are some of the questions that are asked at these meetings? Is there a frequently set of asked questions that you guys are fielding, that you're hearing, that you can't repeat enough?
You know, I think that the questions that we ask ourselves right now, we're developing surveys that we'll be administering to students, and then a separate survey to parents, and we're working through that process. But I think the question that we ask ourselves on a very regular basis is, How can we be most effective? How can we reach this younger population, whether it's our high school students and middle school students, or
is it younger than that?
Younger than that, but where the demographic and the statistics show the highest impact being in that 25 to 34 year old age category, we really want to get the information to these students before they start making some life altering decisions.
You want to weigh in, David?
Sure. And on top of that, you know, We have 25 to 30 people, and we're starting to have subcommittees, one working with PR and one working on kids' place where they can go and kind of talk, and there's some others that are forming as well. So it's important to create those subcommittees, because sometimes when you're in a big committee and you're throwing out a lot of ideas and people are asking questions, you really need to focus in and have those core groups.
Do you find yourself just basically trying to figure out what's the best method to be able to get information out before you look to do a full-on campaign within the three communities? Is that what I'm feeling here?
Yeah, I think we're actually working with a facilitator who has an experienced facilitator who has worked with other coalitions in the area, Scituate and Duxbury and others, to get them off the ground. And so there is an actual process that we're going through, and the data will tell us. We know that there's data that's common across southeastern Mass, but specific to Kingston, Halifax, and Plimpton, we do want to draw out what our youth and what our community is dealing with, and from that, deliver programs that will speak to those issues. So it's a deliberate process, but at the same time, we're all very anxious to get it going and keep it going.
Is there an idea to maybe down the road get speakers, have speakers come in and talk? I know that there's a common couple of folks who come in, of course,
absolutely,
at a cost to come in and talk. Is that something that your
absolutely
group would look to do?
Yeah. We're actually looking right now of potentially holding a screening of a film called What If?
Yep.
That was held in Plymouth not long ago,
yep,
and some of the members had a chance to see, so we're interested in bringing that to
the Wahlberg movie.
Exactly.
Yep.
Very impactful, short 40-minute film, and very impactful, but certainly speakers and, you know, on a wide range of issues. And so it's all really about the education and outreach, and students are involved in this. We have students coming on a monthly basis to these meetings, which is incredible and fantastic. And so it's great to hear from them firsthand what they think is going to what will resonate with them.
I know we talk about educating who to start at, who to educate, whether it's the kids in middle school, whether it's high school, whether it's even younger than middle school. What about as far as the parents? What about as far as those who have kids or who take care of kids, and getting the signs out early?
Absolutely, a key demographic. You know, even just, you know, one's not a simple measure, but a straightforward measure, which is understanding what's in your medicine cabinet. Parents have to understand that these young people are experimenting with those prescriptions right out of their very own medicine cabinet, and they have to be in tune with that. I mean, the reality is it's an age-old human behavior that young people think they're invincible, and they like to experiment, and they like to take risks, and they always have. And I don't think we are ignorant to that, but the dangerous consequences with this situation, they're coming so fast and so furious. Like, you know, people are dying from overdoses and or having overdose episodes that are sending them to the hospital with such regularity and frequency. Parents really have to be in tune as to what's going on in their own home.
Right. And I would agree with that completely. And again, it goes back to the parents and really educating them in what we're trying to do. I was part of the Kingston Youth Sports Organization. I'm still in contact with a lot of those folks, and they want to get involved. I've been reaching out to them. So there'll be more people coming, and looking forward to working with them and really educating them and the students as well to, you know, understand the importance of it and what it can do to your body.
Is it more than just choices? Is it a disease? I mean, what's some of the stuff that you guys have had a chance to look at to assess where things are when it comes to drug use like heroin or fentanyl?
Well, I certainly think we as a coalition view addiction as a disease, and that's one of the biggest things is to reduce the stigma that's out there. And I do think that there's steps are being made and the progress is being made because of all of the media attention that's been out there and family members who are willing to just come out in their obituaries these days and say, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, you know, succumbed to their disease of addiction. And I think it's not a good problem to have, but it's a good progress to be making to say we can talk about this. Mm. We have to talk about this. And I would certainly agree that it is a disease that we need to be looking at as such and not as a stigmatized, person under the bridge that we're all going to kind of ignore at this point.
It looks like the war on drugs, and it isn't the same war on drugs that we knew from 25, 30 years ago when Ronald Reagan wanted to, you know, take that money and stop the drugs from coming in to the country. But now it's now being fought in the streets and in the emergency rooms and in living rooms when we're talking about the war on drugs. And that is now we have something else that's at the doorstep that's going to threaten it even further, and that is legalizing marijuana. Your thoughts on this proposed ballot question that, again, could, you know, push it even further, the war on drugs.
Yeah, I'm totally against it. I just don't think at this time that we're ready to legalize marijuana. I just it's not a good path to go down, because if we do it for marijuana, what's going to be next?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of consequences that come with that. I know there are different opinions out there about whether marijuana is a gateway drug. I believe it is. The Plymouth County DA believes it is. Statistics have shown in other states like Colorado the negative consequences that they've suffered across the state from legalizing marijuana in terms of crime rates and all sorts of, you know, emergency room issues that they're experiencing as well. So that is something that will be talking about as a coalition. We're not here to speak on behalf of the coalition on that specifically,
sure.
But I think it is something that we'll be talking about as we get closer to November and deciding how we want to get out there and in the community and educate people as to what this question really means.
Talk a little bit about the board. How many members do you have on the board at this particular time? How big is the board? How big can the board be?
So right now we have an executive committee, and then we have subcommittees, as David mentioned.
Yep.
We have four subcommittees right now, and an executive committee that has about five people in it. But we are really looking for people to get involved, take on leadership roles. There are more leadership roles that are open and available, and if someone has a particular interest or expertise that they want to bring to the table, this is all about, you know, a big tent and more hands, the better. So, in Plymouth County alone, we have high statistics. You know, we went from, we've had 59 opioid deaths in 2016 already, and that's, we had 142 last year, and that was up from 75 in 2014. So it doubled from 2014 to 2015, and we're certainly on pace for something close to that.
And I'm just doing this off the top, just from hearing stories that we have done here at 95.9 WATD, and I want to say it wasn't too long ago that there was a story that the newsroom did, or that has been reported, that this is going, we're nowhere near the top of the mountain, that these numbers are going to continue to climb. That right now where it's in that stage where it's going to continue to ascend,
yeah,
and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, it's amazing because there are measures surely have been taken, you know, by the Commonwealth, by the legislator and legislation who has taken measures to increase funding for beds,
yep.
and
for treatment,
you know, treatment and decreasing the, you know, in terms of creating the anti-doctor shopping database that now all doctors have to
prescriptions, yep.
Yep,
yes.
track their prescriptions, which is important, but yet all of these measures are still not really making a dent in the issue, as you're saying. So,
did you want to weigh in, David?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would totally agree. You know, everybody's trying to do their part, and I think the big thing is, you know, going back to the community piece. Kingston Police and Kingston and Fire are involved, and it's good to have them at the table. Mm-hmm. And
they see it every day.
They're there. Yep. Mm-hmm.
They see it every day.
Yes.
We hear when I work the newsroom. I cannot tell you how many times. I mean, my job is to be paying attention when I work the newsroom. Paying attention for things that are breaking, whether it's a major car accident or a fire or some form of an incident. There's too many times that when I'm listening to that scanner that they're sent, you know, there's an individual who's in a parking lot who's overdosing. There's somebody, we're getting a call from somebody who says that there's an individual who is unresponsive. They think it's an overdose. Too many times somebody listens to the scanner, I'm going to guess right now that every half an hour, I might hear two or three of those particular calls in this
right.
region.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's scary that I hear that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can only wonder those first responders who have to respond to this, what goes through their heads when they're going out. They know they're going out to a call, and they're hopeful that the Narcan that they have on them is going to be able to revive that individual.
Right.
And save a life.
Right. And hopefully get them into treatment, you know, which,
hopefully.
You know, more
yes.
especially, you know, Beth Israel Deaconess down in Plymouth is really taking a leadership role in this and are working to get those who are incoming with overdoses into treatment facilities. And so that's, even that into itself is a step that's really important.
And we're not even talking the legal side. With the, you know, the addition now of Hingham, I think, is going to have a drug court, right? Do we not have drug courts that are going to be in Hingham and Plymouth?
We have Plymouth Drug Court was leading the way on that, and I know there are other drug courts in them. Is Hingham
Brock
a location?
Going to have one.
I did hear that Hingham was going to be one too.
Yep.
So that's
you
great.
Were going to weigh in before I intervene with that. Again, we are speaking with Amy Belmore. She is the chair of Tri-Town Facts Coalition. They're going to be meeting tomorrow night.
At Silver Lake
High School. Mm-hmm. And we also have David Kennedy, who is not only a member of this coalition, but he is also on the Board of Health.
Correct.
In Kingston. And they are here having a conversation, talking to you, and introducing themselves, I would think.
Yes.
Kind of an introduction as to Tri-Town Facts. And again, they're looking for residents from Kingston, Halifax, Plimpton to get involved, be actively involved. How many members are you looking for to be a part of, just to be a part of the
members
conversation?
Members at large, as many as we can bring to the table, members at large, absolutely. And then, as Dave was saying, in terms of subcommittees, we'll be creating those subcommittees as we have the resources to deliver, you know, on the outcomes for that. So I do want to mention that we were fortunate to have, as I mentioned, we've worked with a facilitator. Her name is Julie Nussbaum, and she's fantastic. But we were able to do that because of a grant from the Solstice Foundation. And so I want to give a shout out and a plug to the Solstice Foundation for all of the great work that they do in the community in general. They've focused on Duxbury and Kingston for some of this opioid work, but they've done great, great work for cancer fighting and other issues in the community. So,
yeah, absolutely. Solstice Foundation is great. The Solstice Restaurant, the owners are well involved in the community, and them stepping up and helping out in this cause is great.
Being in your infancy, what do you have as far as ways for folks to find out about you?
Yep.
Facebook is the quickest way.
Yep, yes. We have a Facebook page, Tri-Town Facts. So easy to find, Tri-Town Facts. And then we also have an email address, which is tritownfacts@gmail.com.
You gotta love Gmail.
which it's F-A-C-T-S, in case it's sounding like I'm talking about a fax machine.
No.
I'm talking about fax.
No. But I want to thank you both for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
And hopefully you can give us regular updates.
Yes.
Are you going to look to do anything with any other forms of media? Have you got any other kind of attention, whether it's from local newspapers, maybe from
We've had some exposure.
PAC TV or anybody like that?
Yes. Yes to both of those things. We've had some exposure in local newspapers, which already, and we'll hopefully continue that, and we'll certainly be reaching out to them. David's on the PR committee as well, and we have talked about PAC TV, and they're such a wonderful resource, and so we look forward to, I think, once we're ready for that step, which it will be soon.
Yes, definitely
we'll
soon.
We'll be getting in touch with them.
And I would think you could probably also share it. Now, doesn't Halifax, Plimpton, don't they have their own cable conglomerate as well?
They do. I think there might be a third town involved with them. But yes.
Carver. Yeah.
So PAC, I know.
Leave Carver out.
When PAC TV tapes something, they're able to deliver a DVD, put it in our hands, and we can bring it right over to those sister channels.
Kind of. Yes. Or unless if they do upload it, there's a PEG access, depending on there's a sharer system that they can be able to share from that. But that.
And they have on demand now, too. PAC TV has an on demand channel.
Yeah, yes. A lot of access centers do, and that's I looking forward to seeing your first. Now, is this something that you're going to host yourself, or you haven't even thought it out yet?
I don't think we've gotten that far.
We haven't gotten that far.
I don't think that'll be me, but we'll get there.
But we definitely will.
Yeah. So, but you know, we certainly look to have other programs where we'll be looking for public audiences, and we'd love to be able to tell you about that, Kevin, and maybe share information again.
You're almost basically my new co-host here. I mean, two weeks in a row. Yeah, and of course, David. We got to give a round of applause to David, because David, when he was coming in, he's like, it's my first time on radio. So
thank you.
He has made his first entrance into bigger media, other than being in the newspaper for a meeting or something like that.
So right.
Definitely. And you're always so welcoming, and we really do appreciate it. So
the idea of this, not only this particular show, but of this radio station, is what's going on in the community, in and around the South Shore. We are the South Shore's radio station, and we're very proud of that. And you know, you're gonna walk the walk. If you're gonna talk the talk, you're gonna walk the walk.
Well, thank you.
The way it goes. So
thank you.
I want to thank you both. Coming in. You sure you want to stick around for our next segment? It's going to be really, really fun.
I will absolutely listen into this one.
The gentleman, Stephen Lee Hall Jr., who calls himself the King of the Forest, a guy who is from Naked and Afraid. I can't wait because it's a show that I follow and I watch. And I watch with interest. Not that I would ever want to strip off all my clothing and be in the middle of nowhere for 21 days and try to survive. But just to be able to talk with somebody about that. But continued success, and I'm hoping that we'll have you back in somewhere down the road.
Love to.
Give us an update, or maybe what we can do is maybe we can have you in with other groups like yourselves.
Right.
And have kind of a nice, because we do that from time to time. I've had a group of mayors from the South Shore, chiefs and police chiefs, you name it.
Sure.
Why not have groups who
that would
have
be great.
Stuff like that.
Duxbury, Marshfield, Scituate, they all have fax coalitions right now, so active.
Maybe we try to get you guys all in, maybe get all the chairs in or co-chairs and have a conversation.
That'd be great. Amy Belmore,
thank you so much. David Kennedy.
Kevin, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will just kind of step aside just for a few moments, but when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.